Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
We tend to say that God loves us when he gives us a blessing. But which parent does not discipline his children? So God's discipline also shows that he loves us. But oftentimes when God disciplines us, we say it is Satan at work.
In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil teaches us about achieving success God's way. He explains that real success, which changes lives and honors God, starts with being truly humble. This means completely giving ourselves to God's will and understanding that without Him, our achievements are void and lack real eternal purpose. Real success happens when we listen to wise advice, not just by imitating their practice, but by understanding their principles. It also involves humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, accepting His guidance and discipline, and trusting Him to help us. It's about letting go of control and letting God take charge of what happens next. Instead of trying to manipulate things for our gain, we should trust in God's timing and follow where He leads us. In His perfect time, He will lift us to places of honor and blessings. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Success God's Way.
So I want to talk to you today on this subject, very simple subject, success God's way. Or becoming successful God's way, not our way. If you look at a contest, you will notice that the Apostle Peter is saying that these guys are persecuted, they are hiding, they are not even at home, they are in different places. So they worry over how they're going to make it through life. And he says, God's way of giving you the grace to make it through life is humility. You might not see it, but I'll connect the dots for you. Then secondly, he says, you wonder if your life will even amount to anything. But he says, don't worry, God will lift you up. But there again, he ties it to humility. This time, not to one another, but under the mighty hand of God. Are you ready to go on the journey with me? If I ask the average person in our world today to define success, what do you think would be some of the synonyms they will use? They will use synonyms such as notoriety, right? Fame. Because the truth is, in our world today, we think everybody who is famous is successful. But is that true? You are saying no, but we are looking for it too. You'll find preachers wanting to become famous. Somebody starts something now, they want to be known. You print cards, you start giving them out. What are you doing? You want to be known. But you and I will agree that fame sometimes is a curse. Is it not? Because the more people know you, the more people will talk about you. The only reason you are free is because not that many people know you. Because if they know you, they'll get in your business. Amen. Another word people will use is abundance. Abundance of money. Be honest. If you see a poor person and they say they are successful, most of you will say no. Am I right? Because we associate success with abundance of what? Money. At least have money more than the average person. So we will say that certain groups of people are successful. But to God, that is not how he defines it. Today we will find out. He ties everything to humility. Another way the world defines success is that if you have a lot of power, you wield a lot of authority, everybody thinks. If you can go on vacations, eat anything you want, go on vacation anywhere you want, people think you are successful. But the word of God says the opposite. Young people, listen to me. Don't let anybody tell you that because you dress a certain way, you look successful. Yeah. What does the corporate executives wear? Suit and a tie. Then they cut their hair, put on a little glasses. And then when they walk, they put your hands in their pocket. It's a feel of success. They are lying to you. Because notice the contest we are going to go into. Peter is saying you can have the grace to have all the successes you want. But if your cares of anxiety are not taken care of, that ain't true success. In other words, he says success without satisfaction and contentment is nothing. There are people who have money, but they can't sleep. That ain't no success. How many of you would say you are successful in your marriage? Don't bow your head. Because you assume that because you fight a little, you are not successful. No, human beings, we will fight. We will what? I've said this and I say it again. If you are dead and we lay you in state, the same people who talked about you before you died will come and talk about you while filing past. And after they are done and you are buried, they will still talk about you. It's just human nature. So the parameters with which we define success should never be about what the world defines. The word of God defines it. And Peter says, let's go into it really quick. He says, number one, success God's way requires that we submit to the wise. He says, young people submit to the elders. Because the older people in the society at the time are the people who had more wisdom. And if you're going to have success God's way, you must learn to submit to the wise. There's a popular saying, I don't agree with it though, but it confirms this concept. Experience is the best what? You see, you're all saying it. I don't buy it. It is guided experience that is the best teacher. If you have been laying bricks every day and nobody guided you, after a while, you know how to lay bricks, but there are certain things that makes brick laying very proper you will never know. Because you will not bump into it. Somebody has to guide you. And that is what Peter is saying, that do not worry about your life because you must learn to submit to the elders because there's wisdom. They have experienced life. And young people, I'm telling you, I know you know it by now. Your parents may be like, they talk too much. The truth is, we've been where you've been. And we understand what the things that you don't understand, we already what? We do. So listen. Everybody say, listen. How do I submit to the wise? Write it down. I submit to the wise when I heed their advice. I accept their guidance. And I observe their behaviors and strive to imitate the principles that governs their actions. Please notice, I never say copy them. I said copy the principle on which their practices are based. They are two different things. I submit to the elders or to the wise by doing three things. I heed the advice. So when the elder people in the society speak, listen. Your little AI does not put you over them. And church members, when I talk, listen. Because there are things I know you have no clue about. Just this week, I have been grown in my faith in ways because I'm staring at a dead body. Listen to the elders. Accept their guidance. But more importantly, I wanted to observe their behaviors and imitate the principle. Somebody say, imitate the principle. Let's say that again, imitate the principle. The problem with most Christians today is that we imitate practices. But you must imitate principle and then evolve your own what? Practice. Do not copy practices. They are using anointing oil in the Old Testament. What was the principle that the Spirit of God will come? Is the Spirit of God in us? Yes. So do we still need anointing oil? No. Are there cases where the Scripture says in the New Testament we do need it? Yeah. The problem is we get so soaked into it because we are focused on practices. Always imitate the principle upon which people's life. I live by the concept of success God's way. So I don't jump. I take my time. And it doesn't matter how many people in the eyes of the world look like they've gone ahead of me. I don't care. Because success can only be judged by God, not humans. Are you understanding me? So Peter says,
You younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. And then he goes on to say, all of you, clothe yourself. Everybody say, clothe yourself. So the second principle is success God's way requires a submission to one another. A submission to all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. All of you. If you are a supervisor at work, remember the people who are working for you are not animals. Be respectful of them. Are you with me? All right. And notice the word that Peter uses, clothe. Everybody say clothe. I believe Peter was reminiscing when Jesus was washing their feet. And then he took his clothes out and he tucked himself with a towel of a servant. And then he washed their feet. Submit, submit, submit. Say that to the person sitting next to you. And please, this time, don't look at their face, but say it. Get off your high horse. Did you look at them? So I don't create problems for you. So number one, Peter says, if I am going to be successful, it shouldn't be that I live in a world where we don't have respect for anybody. You see how the world's success is about once you want to get to the corporate ladder, child, you get it one time. It doesn't matter who you're going to step on. Step on them and go up. The word of God says, for the believer, it is the opposite. Humble yourselves one to another. We don't step on people because we have a mission. People are our mandate to bring them to Christ. Are you understanding where we're going? So number one, submit to the elders. Get wisdom from those who are wise. Number two, submit to one another. And thirdly, success God's way requires humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Let me read that really quick. And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Everybody say God's mighty hand. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand is an expression that entails submitting in the spirit of humility to God's sovereign dealings. I'll try and bring it to you. It means trusting God and accepting his will, no matter what hardships he allows. So he's saying that you guys are being persecuted. You have been dispersed from home. Yes, God may have a hand in it. Amen. Only one person said amen. Amen. Let me challenge all of you. We tend to say that God loves us when he gives us a blessing. But which parent does not discipline his children? So God's discipline also shows that he loves us. But oftentimes when God disciplines us, we say it is Satan at work. Throughout the Bible, the mighty hand of God is symbolic of God's power. But it does two things. Number one, it brings us deliverance and he disciplines us. Throughout the Bible, the mighty hand of God is symbolic of God's power. And I know believers want God's power to deliver them, but God's power also comes to discipline us. I'll show you a few examples in the scriptures. And sometimes we need to stop praying some of the prayers we are praying, because how many of you know that if God opens a door, you cannot shut? And if it's God who is doing something, your prayers won't work. Do you actually even know when God is actually disciplining you? Because we don't even think about that. You call other people in prayer meetings, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we are binding. God says, these people, no. The Bible says it is only a father or a parent who loves his children who disciplines them. So there are things God allowed to come our way. They are there to discipline us. Do you realize that sometimes there are things you go through after that, all of a sudden, you were like a lackadaisical about prayer, but then you start what? Mm-hmm. So all the things that led to it, God was disciplining you. Stop binding Satan all the time. Because sometimes he ain't doing nothing. Satan has nothing to do with it. It's God at work. And he must grow us. For some of us, 20 years, we are still at the same sin. Because we don't pass the exam. Do you realize if you don't pass the exam, you don't go to the next level? The same test. I don't understand. This is a generational thing. It keeps coming. It keeps coming because it's a test. And you have to pass before you go to the next level. How in the world the same man sees the same kind of girls and wants to sleep with the same kind of women over and over? Satan is not. You are presented with an opportunity to believe that I am a child of God. This is not the way. I will depend on the Holy Spirit. You pass it one time. You move on to the next level. You flaunt it. You keep having it. And you blame Satan. I met Satan this morning at the gate. He told me he was very sad because Christians are always telling him he's to be blamed for their behavior. And we are giving him so much credit for things he's never done. I hope you don't do that. Let me show you through our scripture. Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Because whenever God's mighty hand is mentioned, it is associated with either deliverance or with discipline. Are you in Exodus 6? Look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. So you see a picture of the mighty hand of God. When it's in play, it is either deliverance or it is what? Discipline. For Pharaoh, God was disciplining him. But for the children of Israel, it was going to be what? Deliverance for them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8. If you can read with green, shall we go? So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. So he's talking about deliverance in this context. Psalms 32, verse 4. I want to take my time with this one, because this is about David. When the mighty hand of God came upon him to discipline him after he impregnated Bathsheba. Read with me, shall we? Go. For what? Day. And what was here on him? The hand of God. He said it was heavy on him. Sometimes God's hand is heavy on you. He's not going to kill you, but he will discipline you. He will what? Discipline you. How God disciplines is a very difficult thing to tell, because how I discipline my children, you will never know. But sometimes we need to stop blaming Satan and go to God. Am I in a disciplinary moment now? Because if you destroy the process, it will repeat itself. Pass the test. Tell the person sitting next to you, pass the test. Tell another person, pass the test. Notice what David says here. He says, my strength was sapped. Have you ever gotten to that place where you feel like, I ate right, I took all my tablets right, everything supposed to be right, but you feel so tired? Sometimes it's the hand of God on you, pushing you down. Because he wants you to change. Christians of today, we don't want to hear discipline, yet we want to discipline our children. But God, the Father, doesn't have a right to discipline us. Let alone even if it's a pastor disciplining you. That one is out of order. All right, let's try and understand this in modern day terms. I'm bringing some of these things down. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, how does it look like? We willingly accept his discipline and deliverance. We willingly what?
Accept
his
discipline.
Secondly, we refrain from trying to control situations and people for our benefit. You meet many believers, they are conniving. Stay under the mighty hand of what? And in due or proper time, he will what? He will. So whenever I am under that mighty hand, I accept his deliverances, I accept his disciplines, and I don't manipulate events and people. Some of us, we are very good. We claim we don't manipulate, but we do. If this is going to go in the church, it has to go this way. You have started manipulating everybody, and in a meeting, you will find a way to make sure everybody agrees with you. You are a manipulator. Repent. Stay under the mighty hand of... And it only doesn't only include church members, it includes pastors too, who want to do things their way, not his way. Stay under the mighty hand of God. I understand this concept so well.
I don't manipulate events. In fact, there are times people give me invitations to go and preach in places. I refuse them. It is not because the place is bad. No. And it's not because I am better than them. No. But after I pray and I say that's not a place to go, I don't go. Maybe at another time, I will sense the need to go to the same place. But at that, some of us, we are in a rush. You want people to know you. The strong and mighty, they are there, they are waiting. How many of you remember that Jesus, when he was born, what did the angel say? He says, take the child and run to Egypt, for Pharaoh is what? After him. Lesson, when things are in its infantile stage, it must be protected. Amen. And even Jesus, who was God, had to be protected in an infantile stage. You start one business, you want people to know, so you are talking, cha, 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 cha. Somebody will get your idea and put a patent on it. By the time you realize, you have nothing. Take your time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Some of you who want to go into ministry, humble yourself. In proper time, God will what? Elevate you. Don't preach messages just so people will feel good. Don't do it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So I refrain from controlling situations and people. I resist the urge to rush the process. I allow God to determine the timing and I choose to follow his lead. I don't go ahead of him. And he says, if I do this, the result is that he will lift me at the proper time. Now, let me give you an example. Let me use this young people here. You are very good at the piano. So you want to be known. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but you are my example. So you start, remember you start playing here at church. All of a sudden, you want to be known. So people start giving you a gig in different places. And you never show up here to play because you are rushing the process instead of staying under the mighty hand of God. There are people who are not wise. When you go to them for advice, they'll say, that's for that pastor. That's not the place to be. You have to go this place. People will get to know you. When you stay under the mighty hand of God, he knows which Delilah is on the way. And he will protect you from it. When I look at this wife of mine, stay under the mighty hand of God. She's not sexy. So you go and look for sexy, but sexy also kills. You didn't know. The one you have is not sexy, but at least she won't grab a gun to kill you. But sexy has a gun, and sexy will kill. Stay under the mighty hand of God in that marriage. Can I work on it a little bit? Let me work on it with a scripture. How many of you remember David? You remember David? When David began to grow, we are told that he took care of his father's sheep, correct? The scripture does not tell us when David started playing the harp and the flute and all the things he was playing, his music. But I wanted to picture something. That David had that gift. He was so talented. Because when Saul had an evil spirit, David could play so that the evil spirit would depart. But who were the first audience of David? Sheep. So when David played, the only response he got is what? Some of you are in a stage and you are rushing to be known. Stay under the mighty hand of God. Stop rushing, because in due season, at the proper time, God would elevate you. Because it's not about people. It's about what you are doing for him. So David is singing. You see, we read the Psalms, but the Psalms were what the sheep was doing to it. He had to have a long-term range that one day the things that he is singing and writing will come to bless generations. But his first audience was sheep. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you look at verse 18, when Saul was looking for someone, the Bible says, one of the servants says, I know a son of Jesse. He can play for an evil spirit to depart. If David was in our day,
who can play for an evil spirit to depart? They will tell him, don't be part of the choir. The world must know your gift. You have to be out. Stay under the mighty hand of God. Because many people have been destroyed in an attempt to be known. Because in due season, God knows due season. God knows the proper time. He will lift you up. Because by the time he lifts you up, people can't destroy you. By the time he lifts you up, he has built character on the inside. So the Delilahs can't take you out. By the time he lifts you up, he has established your feet. So nothing can take you out. Russian. I can prophesy, yo. Me, I can see. When I see, I'm always right. Is it about you being right? Psalm 78, let's read that really quick. Oh, no, before we go to that, let's do 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Because I want to show you something. You remember that when the prophet Samuel came to anoint David, the Bible said he was only a little what? Boy. The scripture never tells us how old he was. By Hebrew verbiage, you would understand that he's either 13 or 12 when the prophet anointed him. I want you to see how long it took for David to fulfill that. Are you in 2 Samuel? Read with me, shall we? David was 30 years old when he became king and he reigned from today. Never say time is passing me by. Because at 80 years old, Caleb still asked for a mountain. If I don't rush and get the thing done, my time will be over. Who controls times? Who restores time? Who creates time? Young people, don't rush. If people are cutting corners to have money, let them have it. Because the day they die, that money ain't going nowhere with them. Are you learning anything today? So if you do the math, 30 years, and he got anointed somewhere 13, 12. So about, let's say, give and take plus or minus from about 15 years all the way up to 20 years. If you have to wait for 20 years for something to happen, a lot of people will tell you you are foolish. Because time is what? Passing you by. I've had many people who tell me, 20 years of your church, how many people are inside the building? And I said, it is the life I have affected. Until you make impact in the life of an individual that turns their life from hell towards heaven, you cannot talk about success. Because that's not how he defines it. God defines it differently. Amen. So God called David. God chose him. He prepared him. He waited. And at an appropriate time, he brought David. The Bible says he reigned 40 years. But when did his reign begin? When he was 30. When was he anointed? When he was about 11 or 12. Sometimes the problem is not even you, it's people. Can you imagine John the Baptist? You remember John the Baptist? John chapter 1, I think verse 19. The Bible says that the Pharisees sent their disciples to go and ask John, John, are you the Christ? What did John say? He says, I'm not. Are you this? He says, no. What are you? He says, I am a voice. Look at the level of power that was on the dude. And he says, no, I am not all the things you're saying. I am only a voice. You must know who you truly are. I told my wife one day, I said, hon, maybe your only purpose in life is to stay around me and pray for me. I've had temptations to go pastor churches that are bigger. They'll give me more money. Leave this. Train somebody. Leave it behind. But then I have a sense in my spirit that I am called to this place. It doesn't matter who is causing trouble. I am called to that place. I will stay there and do it till I die. Oh, a few people clapped. But now we're going to clap for you because you will learn to stay where you are. Are you with me today? Just before we entered into this year, one of our brothers called me and says, I have had an offer to leave my job and then go and join the federal government. As soon as he was done, I said, I don't sense that in my spirit, bro. And they were giving him 2 times the money he was making. Last month, he told me, Pastor, it was good you did not make me go. But I'm sure at the time I spoke, I sounded like. And I've seen most of you do it. A pastor called me one time, says, oh, if somebody has this problem, that problem, that problem, how do you solve it? And I went through God's word with him. And then literally found out it was a church member from here who had gone to see that pastor to ask for the advice. And then later on, the pastor said, I take my advice from your own pastor. No, you are not a bad person. Your problem is that you are rushing. Stay under the mighty hand of God. For in due season, God will what? Lift you up. I'm in tears because it's not a cheap thing I'm talking about. And everything around you will tell you, no, you can't wait. But under the mighty hand of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.